show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn and Baseball Prospectus affiliate. Folks, we got some things to talk about. I think there's some Royals things to talk about. Sometimes I'm not so sure, but we'll get into that in just a moment. First, introductions. I am Jeff Herr, as always, and with me, as always, is the man who I'm always sure about, Michael Engel. Mike, how are you doing on this, we'll call it balmy summer evening here in Kansas City, and I'm sure Lawrence is pretty close to the same.
It's the worst. This is the worst part of summer, is the days where it's just, like, ungodly hot. It just sucks.
When they make the comments about, like, dog days of summer, quote-unquote, this is what they have in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just terrible. It's like, I don't want to go outside. You step outside and blink, and it's like you're just sweating from head to
toe. It's terrible. It's awful.
Ugh. No, thank you.
No, thank you, indeed.
Yeah, so that's as good as I get, about 105 degrees of blah at the moment.
Yes. So with that, we'll kind of get into it. First, little disclaimer before we start talking about the Royals stuff. One of the big topics on a lot of people's minds talking about the Royals this week has been Luke Heimlich and the expressed interest that Dayton Moore has had in that player from his interviews. So we have decided not to talk about that. He hasn't been signed by the Royals yet. So if they do sign him, then we'll talk about that topic at that time. But as of right now, we've decided not to talk about it on the show. If you're curious, some of our thoughts, you can go and check out our social media, and you can also be sure to go and visit BP Kansas City, because there's a very powerful story that somebody was brave enough to entrust us to publish for them about what it's like to survive the kind of sexual abuse that Luke Heimlich was convicted of. So I would suggest you definitely go read that and follow us and the rest of the BP Kansas City crew on social media if you'd like to kind of get some of our thoughts on that. So as of now, though, we just wanted to put that out there so that people know it's not something that we forgot about or whatever. We're choosing not to discuss it at this time. So it'll be a different story.
There'll
be
a lot of discussion, I think.
Plenty of discussion at that point.
Cross that bridge when we get there.
Yes, which hopefully we never will. But anyway, so moving on. We first things first. I guess you could call it best news from the past week. We'll start with minor league promotions, because that's where we're at now. We're back to this place where the best, most exciting Royals news in a particular week does not reside with the major league club. So, we go further down, if you will, as we look at the minors and see some things. Some notables, we've got Khalil Lee going up to AA Northwest Arkansas. Nicky Lopez, right, goes up to do you go to AAA or AA? Sorry, I know we talked about this.
He is going to Omaha. So
AAA.
Yeah. So both of them have really good seasons. There's always a lot of promotions, in late June, early July, as teams sign their draft picks, start assigning them places. And so the exciting one is Lee, who you know, had a really strong line down in Wilmington and in the Carolina League. You know, slugged over 400, had a 400 on base percentage. He turned 2 days ago. So he's 20 years and 2 days old or something, to be reaching double A and getting that opportunity now is, I think that's good for him. And I think he's definitely ready to, you know, test that level out, and then, you know, you'll see how he handles it. So to see him get to that point is pretty exciting. A lot of people consider him the Royals' top prospect, even after the draft. So, you know, he's definitely one of their most exciting prospects, no matter what. So, double A is a good spot for him. You know, the Texas League is a little more offensive minded than the Carolina League. I think that's putting it lightly. Mm-hmm. So, the expectation is kind of that, you know, if he can hit well in Wilmington, he can probably hit pretty well in double A. But it is a jump, so it's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts from that jump. I've heard it said that the jump from A-ball to double A is, you know, one of the bigger jumps you're going to have. Like a bigger jump than, say, double A to triple A, you know, because it is one of those first barriers that those players have to cross to be successful. So if he does well in double A, great sign, obviously. And if not, well, maybe there's some adjustments to make and he repeats the level next year. And, you know, being 21 in double A is still pretty young for that league. So, you know, there's plenty of time to grow. So I think that's a good deal. And then Nicky Lopez is just, he's hit all season long, and to get the chance to play at triple A, especially when, you know, Adalberto Mondesi has been promoted to the big leagues, gives Lopez an opportunity to play quite a lot out there. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see what he does in AAA. You know, and even though we say, you know, that the A to AA jump is a pretty big one, AA to AAA is significant as well. You know, so Lopez is someone that I think some folks maybe kind of think might be up in September. The Royals may or may not worry about that just because of service time issues. But, you know, I could definitely see it that if he hits in AAA, they would give him a look just to see what they have. So another intriguing name to kind of keep an eye on in the upper minors.
Yeah, and, you know, I've kind of always heard the same, where the biggest jump you have in the minors is from single A to double A. And, you know, kind of the impression I've gotten in terms of what the jump is like going from wherever to whatever, it's that, you know, the single A to double A is that jump where, okay, if you can persevere through that, and you can become a good player at the double A level, then you've got a possible major league future. And then that triple A jump is all kind of about refinement and actually kind of preparing you for being at that level where, you know, double A might be more or less the, and these are my words here, but, you know, raw ability. And then triple A is where you face the crafty lefty, you know, and you find out, okay, I can actually, you know, make it work against this. I can make the adjustments to people who, because, you know, the lower you go down in the minors, the less, you know, it's people working on things, trying to refine their play styles. It's not so much people trying to pitch to you in the sense that, you know, trying to do a ton of advanced scouting and trying to figure out, you know, how do I pitch to a particular player and adapting to them, and then you have to adapt back. You know, that's less and less the further down you go. So as you get up, and then AAA obviously being the highest, that's when you finally get those scenarios where you have, you know, people who are actually like, okay, I'm not just going to go out here and work on these pitches. I'm actually going to try and get this guy out and pitch, for lack of a better term. You're always trying to get him out, but, you know, it's a little bit of a different approach, I think. And that's just kind of how I've always viewed it a little bit. So it's definitely really good. You know, clearly it was someone when we had Clint on after the the draft this year, and we kind of talked about him briefly, and I think he was pretty high on, or maybe was it there? Maybe it was. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe I'm thinking of the Slack chat or something. But I know Clint has.
He's definitely been high on Lee. Lee was his number one in the prospect book that he had before the season, and has really done nothing to really like push anybody off of that. So, you know, I would say he's got him, if not number one, top three prospect in the system. So, you know, I it's very good news, more or less.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's pretty great to be able to see this guy just for, you know, just to kind of compare. I mean, you look like Mondesi is 22 years old right now in the big leagues and, you know, is kind of in that same type of age range where he's very young for even AAA, and the big leagues. And Lee is kind of in that same track. If you figure he, you know, plays well this year and then he plays well in AAA next year, well, you know, big leaguer by 22.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty good path to be on. And it speaks to his skills, and the Royals are confident enough that they're going to give him a shot at double A and see what he does. And, you know, if maybe it's a big jump and it doesn't work out right away, but you know, I get the sense that he's going to hit pretty well there. So, I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, definitely. He's an exciting prospect, and it's always great to see, you know, because before we've always wondered kind of, you know, when you look at your Mike Trouts of the world and your Manny Machados and all that kind of stuff. Now those are obviously, you know, generational type players, so it's not necessarily easy to just say, well, why don't we get one of those players? Like, of course everybody wants that, but you know, there's still a lot more times where, you know, players will come up and have immediate success and perform really well then, you know, as a career. And so we often, you know, just especially, you know, pre-2011, it was always like, why not us? Why is it always such a struggle for the Royals to get just anybody to come up and just light the world on fire? And, you know, even with all the players that have come up in 2011 and since, you know, like Hosmer came up and had that really good rookie year. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of faltered in his second year. And he kind of had that on-off thing for his career here in Kansas City. And Moose came up and struggled for a long time before he actually got into his stride. You know, Danny Duffy had his struggles. Yordano Ventura had his struggles, etc. You know, so there were it doesn't, you know, it seems like it's always been it just doesn't seem like the Royals have had that player in a long time who just has come up and you know, kind of like the Carlos Beltran, I guess, would be the last one that you could really think about. And he even had a few struggles, but I mean, that's you kind of expect that a little bit. But you know, Carlos Beltran came up and was pretty well, you know, good from the start and then stayed that way. So I'm not saying that's what Khalil Lee would be, but if he could be, you know, that's pretty awesome. And it's a good sign that he's moving up so quickly. And, you know, when you're moving to double A at this age, just like with Mondesi, you've probably already got a couple skills that are major league level. You know, with Mondesi, it was his speed and defense, and that's why he was called up to be on the playoff roster when they went to the World Series and won that year. You know, so they thought, hey, he could help the team in that regard. He didn't, but
no.
that's not his fault necessarily. But you know, they still had that confidence that he could because of the skills that he had displayed. So, you know, you like to, or at least I like to think that Lee has probably displayed some similar types of, not necessarily in the same skill set, but just more along the lines of he's had some skills that are at that level that, you know, they're pretty close, and he just needs to kind of get those other parts of his game up to snuff, and then he'll move to AAA hopefully soon. And if it's next year and then he proves he can do it, then maybe a, like you said, September call up or something. And, you know, that's still really early, but if that's the case, that'd be really awesome. But if not, you know, it's just, he moves at whatever pace he moves. I think the important part is that, you know, if the Royals do have a good player like that and he proves he's ready, then move him along. But I fear a Adalberto Mondesi 2.0 scenario where you know, I don't know what's to become of Mondesi, and I don't know. I don't know if we will ever know what he truly could have been, because I do think, you know, his development suffered a lot from the Royals wanting him to move quickly through the system and kind of, you know, and pulling him up in 2015. I mean, that was, we talk about how young he is now. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That they pulled him up for that playoff run. So, and he was, I believe he was 20 at that time. So, I mean, that's, you know, that started 3 years ago, and then he kind of, they kept pushing him and having him work his way up, and then, you know, calling him up in the end of the year and calling him up when players got injured and trying to find, you know, starting the year last year with the team, et cetera. And it's just, it seemed like it could have been a little bit more of a cleaner route from, you know, single A to the pros for him. So, I mean, hopefully he's still able to realize his full potential. But, you know, if he doesn't, I don't know that we will ever know what effect that had. But it's just, it's something that's always going to be in the back of my mind, at least when we see what his future holds. And, you know, I hope a situation, obviously it's hard to say that you hope the same thing doesn't happen, because we don't know what's going to happen with Mondesi. But, you know, I hope it's not something the Royals have learned some lessons, hopefully, and will, you know, let Khalil Lee dictate how fast he moves through the system instead of their desire for him to move through being what dictates how fast. So,
yeah,
hopefully that's the case. You know, sometimes it feels too much to ask for the Royals to have learned from their past mistakes, but you never know.
Right. I also think that the guys like Nick Prado and MJ Melendez and Sully Matias in the lower, you know, they're all still in Lexington right now. That might tend towards their waiting just a little bit more on Lee, just so that they're not bringing him up a year and a half ahead of guys or something like that. You know, just maybe that's enough to keep them from rushing him. But if he does a thing where he's hitting 300-400, you know, he's just mashing at every level, it's tough to continue to keep those kind of guys down. But you know, at least he'll have to do that, and there's still plenty of factors. So, yeah, we'll see. I hope they don't rush him, but if he pushes their hand, I think they might go ahead and do it. But that's still a ways away. I wouldn't even expect that until next year at the earliest. At this stage, I mean, they give him July and August in AA to see what he can do, and then, you know, kind of go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with Nicky Lopez being at AAA, that's a good, you know, that's a good sign for him to continue moving along that path as well. And, you know, if he could end up getting a call up this year, kind of see what he's all about. And if Mondesi is able to get things going, and, you know, Alcides Escobar, fingers crossed, he might not actually be back next year. I don't know. But, I mean, you got to think that this move kind of portends to the Royals maybe thinking, okay, that's our future starting next year, Mondesi. And, you know, obviously Merrifield's in that mix as well for the middle infield. But who knows? You know, I feel like we've just – that's the mantra. That should be the Royal slogan this year, not, for, you know, Royals 50 or whatever. Should be just, you know – who knows? Because I feel just keep repeating that phrase, because there's so much we don't know. But that's kind of the big news with the minor leagues. As we
not a lot of good news at the other level.
No, so. But we'll go there anyway. I guess best news is you know, Lucas Duda has returned. He is, you know, off the DL, and he's, you know, doing all right in his return, which is, I guess, kind of good, because the Royals need another bat in the lineup to fill the hole that will be missed by Soler.
Yep.
And, you know, with Soler gone, I mean, it's not like the offense, we can say like, oh, they're really, I mean, they are struggling, but it's not because of that. I mean, they have been struggling all season, and it still falls along that same pattern if they just can't seem to get it all together. You know, they'll have a good offensive night, and the pitchers will give up a ton of runs, and then they'll have, you know, really good night from a pitcher and they'll lose 1-0 or 2-0. It's just like, oh man. And, you know, specifically this month, the Royals were cruising towards possibly a historically bad month for them. And you were even kind of, you had mentioned looking into whether or not it was the worst month they've ever had, but a couple wins the last few days have really kind of maybe taken that away. But I mean, looking at a scenario here, I mean, if you look at the Royals schedule, I mean, they had a stretch here from June 3rd to June 20th. Where they won one game.
Yeah.
And so let's see. 6, 9, 12, 15. 15 losses.
Yeah.
And one win. So they, I mean, we remember the 19-game losing streak in 2005. They were two runs away from being almost at that same level. That would have been 16 straight losses. Thankfully, the Oakland A's were able to cough up a win.
They didn't show up one day, apparently, and that was enough.
That's all it takes, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been rough, and it's been bad, and it's been not good, and I don't know what other adjectives.
Miserable.
Yeah. I mean, futile. We can just start throwing them out there. We can make a whole show just opening up the thesaurus to the word bad and repeating every synonym, and it would all apply.
Royals offense, Mad Libs.
Yes. That would actually be fun. Maybe we should do that next week. Maybe we can fan source it. If you have any ideas for a Mad Libs for the Royals offense, throw it up here. We'll see if maybe that's something we can come up with for next week. But
yeah, I mean, it's a stretch where they went like 14 games in a row, scoring four or fewer runs, which I believe ended up being a franchise record. 16 games in a row, actually, four runs or fewer, including one win, a 2-0 win. But they also had three games in a row where they did the thing, you know, just like the first of the year where their first three wins were all shutouts. It was one of those where if the other team scored, the Royals weren't winning. And that's what it was. They have five wins in June. Three of those are shutouts. So it literally, there's a 2-0, a 1-0, and a 2-0 victory. So three wins, five runs. Just, ugh. They did score five runs on Wednesday. So they kind of got that streak snapped, but they're averaging 2.2 runs per game all month, with a 6-game losing streak and a 9-game losing streak. Their second 9-game losing streak of the year. I mean, it's bad. It's pretty bad. They basically have Whit Merrifield and nobody else hitting right now. Rosel Herrera is kind of hitting a little bit. He's been exciting. Adalberto Mondesi, I think in the last week, has contributed to each of the wins in some way. Had a 2-run single on Wednesday, scored a run. I think he scored a run in their other win, their 2-0 win over the Angels in Kansas City, and he scored the only run in that win against Houston, where Herrera robbed a home run in the eighth inning and then drove in the only run with the triple in the top of the ninth. So that was a nice little game for him, but Mondesi scored the run. And I think he's got a run in each of those three wins where the Royals are 3-3 in their last six. So,
hey-o.
That's about it, though. I mean, it's just like nobody else has been hitting. Mike Moustakas has hit the ball pretty hard, but, you know, he's only hitting 190 this month. Sal Perez has been really bad all month. He's hitting 161. He's got five double plays that he's hit into. So, you know, those are two guys that you would rely on. And when you already have Soler out and you have Duda out, you know, Dozier has kind of fallen back down. I think last week or the week before, I had jotted down Dozier's line since coming up for Lucas Duda, and it was very similar to what Duda's line was for the Royals so far. And since then, the last 2 weeks, it's fallen even more. So, there's just not a lot of big league hitters in this lineup right now. There's guys like Herrera and Mondesi that you're trying to find out. There's guys like Moustakas and Sal Perez who you expect more from. Alex Gordon's been okay. And Whit Merrifield's been pretty good, and that's kind of it. You know, there's not a lot of impact players out there right now.
It says something not only about the last couple of years that Gordon has had, but also about this offense, that the numbers that Gordon has put up, and we're just kind of like, shrug. You know what I mean? It's just, unfortunately, that's the new normal for him, and that's what we kind of feared last year. I think the hope is that 2016 was just kind of a blip, and then last year showed that maybe this is what it is, but hopefully it's just a really, really extended bad stretch. But I think that's kind of what we can expect from him, and that just kind of takes one more thing out of the equation. You know, you might get something good every once in a while, but you can't depend on him like you could in the playoff years. And, you know, when you've got, like you said, you're talking about Herrera and Mondesi, the guys who you're trying to figure out, and you've got Alcides Escobar, who they're still trotting out every day, and you know, Moose is struggling, and Sal Perez is struggling, and everything else. It's tough, man. And they, you know, like you said, I mean, Witt's out there hitting still, but he can only do so much.
Yeah,
as a one-man show, I suppose. But it's if you're gonna be bad, at least be interesting. And unfortunately, they're not super interesting right now.
No,
as
not.
A team, and it's frustrating to watch because you don't know. And I think we talked about this earlier in the season, because it was the thing where you could back in like 2011, 2010, 2011, 2012, maybe not so much 2010, but you know, you could kind of squint and say, okay, I think, you know, if this thing, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, you know, the Royals could start to be a little bit better, be more interesting, maybe go on a run, who knows? But you know, right now, I think that the way this season has shaped up, it's more or less been exactly how everyone predicted it. You know, the record is worse, but in terms of the performance of the players and, you know, what they're doing, I think more or less everyone, it's kind of how everyone thought they would be. And so that's what makes it, you know, all the worse, because you don't necessarily see anywhere where you say, okay, well, you know, we know Moose is going to hit better. And he'll likely hit better than he has in this past month if he were to go the rest of the season and as a Royal. But, you know, is he going to hit much better than he's hit as cumulatively for this season? No, that's kind of what he is. Same with Sal Perez. You know, that's kind of what he is at this point. And, you know, Alex Gordon, this is the new normal for him, et cetera. So, I mean, I guess you've got the possibility that Mondesi and Herrera are for real, and they, you know, can kind of blow up like Whit Merrifield did last year, perhaps, I suppose. But if you're hanging your hat on those two players possibly becoming Whit Merrifield, then you know you've got some problems on your team. Nothing against any of those players, but you know that's not the strategy you should have when trying to build a team. So it's
a dice roll with Rosel Herrera.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like,
rough.
Oh, come on, here we go. Give me a six.
Yeah, there you go.
Yahtzee.
Yay. What excites you right now about the Royals?
I don't, you know. That's
let's be real for a
that's
second.
That's a really good question, because I don't know. You know, I kind of like seeing Dozier up. I was kind of skeptical on how good he might be. I think he's been okay. I mean, not necessarily good in stretches. That's kind of interesting. The Alcides Escobar experiment of like playing him at third and in center is interesting only as like a curiosity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like you go to like a gift shop or something, and it's like, this is cool, this is kind of neat, but it's never anything that I'm going to buy.
Right.
It's like, cool, I saw this thing, and it was kind of interesting and intriguing for half a second, and then it's like, well, you know, when am I ever going to use that? And that's kind of what that is. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think Herrera is kind of interesting in that he was a significant kind of fringe top 100 overall prospect a few years ago. He's only, you know, around 25 years old. He's shown the ability to kind of get some big hits. He's fast. He hustles. He's kind of got he reminds me a lot of Jerod Dyson in September of 2010. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, kind of comes out, impresses people with his speed. He hustles, you know, he's coming up in a few spots. And, you know, one of those things where you get that kind of like mini folk hero for a brief moment, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And that's kind of fun. And, you know, Mondesi has played okay in some spots. The numbers aren't there yet in 9 games. But, you know, he has, you know, he had a good shot, you know, yesterday off Josh Hader, who nobody has hit all year. You know, he's about 3 feet from a grand slam. You know, he hit the ball so hard off the wall that he got held to a single. And Adalberto Mondesi is one of the faster guys on the team. So that's kind of interesting. But that's kind of it. I mean, there's just not much. I mean, Moustakas is kind of who he is. We know he's on borrowed time. They will end up trading him sometime in July or August. Sal's not very good right now. Hasn't been very good most of the year, really. And, you know, not terribly interesting there. I like Whit Merrifield, obviously, but, you know, that's all he can do. You know, he can't drive himself in most of the time, even though he does have a lot of stolen bases that kind of help to that. But, yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, Soler getting hurt sure doesn't, you know, make this team exciting. You know, some of what we haven't talked about yet, Jorge Bonifacio has been reinstated as of, tomorrow he's officially eligible. They've announced that they're going to reinstate him. All he did in 13 games in AAA, once he was able to go do his rehab assignment, was hit .392 and slug .529. So, not bad. I'd say he's probably ready. And, you know, comparing the year that he had last year and those minor league numbers in you know, 2 weeks and AAA, he could be exciting, you know, and he's definitely needed in the lineup. I mean, that's about it, though. There's not, you know, as far as hitters, not much exciting, you know.
Yeah.
We've talked about Brad Keller a lot. He's interesting. He had another really good start, probably his best start so far. So, you know, that's interesting, but you know, it's just a handful of guys here and there. It's, you know, most of the interesting names, the guys who, if you're looking at, you know, someone to compare to that 2011 group, like, they're not here yet. So it's just like, we're just kind of treading water until those guys are ready. And, you know, it doesn't make for the most interesting big league season. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of picking out those names to kind of see, you know, who really fits. And then, you know, we've talked a lot about trade value and stuff. So, I mean, that's definitely like in the mindset, but it's not something that I would say that, you know, hey, let's check the Mike Moustakas trade value tracker.
Right.
Like, you know, we know who he is and we have an idea what the market's going to be. And so it's like, it's not that compelling. We know the Royals are motivated to sell, you know, so it's kind of a foregone conclusion that they will trade Mike Moustakas for something. It might not be what we expect. It might not be a whole lot, but we know they'll trade him. And so it's you know, that kind of takes some of the intrigue out of it because we know he's going somewhere. I don't know what they're going to get, and I don't expect them to get a whole lot, you know. So it's just kind of like it kind of falls by the wayside of being, you know, anything that's too compelling until we get to that point. And once they do trade him and Duda and maybe others, then yeah, then that becomes interesting because now you've got those new players that they get in return. But until that happens, we're just kind of just waiting to see what happens with the guys currently on the roster, and then you just kind of go from there once once the dust settles in August and see where you're at.
Yeah, and you know, it's, we've been talking all season how the it might be difficult to find a, not necessarily trade partner for Mike Moustakas, but a trade partner who's willing to give up some good players that are exciting to have. So it's even, you know, that felt anticlimactic from the start when we started the season, knowing Mike Moustakas would likely be traded. But now it's even worse because it's like, man, you know, that trade, I know it's going to be underwhelming. It's going to be, you know, some single A dude or a couple who are just like, you know, maybe they can be, you know, a fourth outfielder or something like that. And it's like, okay, that's great. You know, you need those on a team, but it doesn't make it exciting when to think about, oh, well, we're going to trade Moustakas. Oh, I can't wait to get the next Paolo Orlando on the team. You know, I like Paolo Orlando, nothing wrong with him, but it's like, you know, that's not an exciting get for a minor league player, especially for someone who's meant as much to this organization as Moustakas has. So, but you know, I'm kind of with you. You know, there's like Brad Keller is kind of, he's interesting, and seeing his development as he continues to keep doing well. You know, and he had I don't know if we ever talked about the quote that Jose Altuve had about him, where somebody had mentioned, you know, what it was like going up against him, and he said, oh man, someone mentioned that he's 22 years old, and he's like, oh, or is he, or 23, is he 22 or 23? I can't.
22, yeah.
So, and he's like, oh man, he's only 22 years old. Like, he's going to be good. He's really hard to, you know, he's not very comfortable to hit against, etc. So coming from one of the best hitters in all of baseball, that's a pretty big compliment. So that's interesting, you know, to see the Royals, you know, with a Rule 5 pick, they might have found somebody that can really contribute to this team. So that is interesting. I will say that. And then, you know, Jorge Soler, he was somebody that I found interesting seeing his development, and that he was, you know, one of the few hitters who's been, you know, he's even had his moments where he's been in some slumps, but he's the only hitter who's been in any way consistent, or not. They're one of the only few hitters that have been in any way consistent this year. And now he's out for an extended period of time. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and we kind of talked about this in our emails talking about the show. It's not even really interesting to think about who the Royals all-star is going to be, you know, like, yeah. Who's it gonna, it's worth, like, we're back to the Ken Harvey era, you know, where it's just like, well, you know, whoever has like the one stat that is decent from a league-wide perspective, we'll just give him the, you know, the nod. So, I mean, maybe Whit Merrifield might be the guy, you know, I mean, if Moose is still on the team, I guess you could look at him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be their guy. I mean, maybe Brad Keller, maybe that's who you
prefer. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but it's not even that fun to speculate, because it's just like, who, you know, because
there's,
at this point, you don't
really a lot of options. I mean, it's Sal Perez is not going to get voted in. He's like fourth in the voting. There's not enough steam to get him there this year. You know, it's not the same as having a bunch of really excited Royals fans and his like league-wide reputation to carry him through and good numbers. He just doesn't have very good numbers, and there's better catchers, or at least catchers who are hitting better this year on teams that are playing better this year, that are getting that attention, and deservedly so. I mean, Sal Perez does, you know, his numbers don't deserve an all-star nod just because he's made it every other year. You know, Moustakas, you know, by OPS plus, yeah, he's the leader in active Royals right now by, you know, 2 points over Whit Merrifield, but in overall value, Merrifield's been better, and his, you know, his batting average and on base percentage are better. He's got the stolen bases, so maybe he actually makes an all-star game instead. But it's like, those are the only hitters I could really imagine have a real chance. I mean, Moustakas has 15 homers, and Whit Merrifield's hitting 281. that's kind of where you're at. You know, if Soler was healthy, I would think he'd maybe be in a good position for that. But, you know, he's out for, you know, another 5 weeks or so, at least. So it's, there's not a lot of options here. Alex Gordon is, I guess, maybe halfway in the mix if you, like, really value the defense that he's provided out there. You know, 256, 335, 352. He doesn't have a whole lot of slug behind him. But, you know, the defense, the on-base, their contributions. But, you know, it's still pretty thin for a resume. So, I mean, yeah, it might, like, the best names for that right now might be Merrifield, Moustakas, and Keller. You know, there's not really a pitcher that's done well. It would have been Kelvin Herrera, but he's been traded. So, you know, you can't really put him on an all-star team when he's not in the league anymore. He's on the other side. He might not make the all-star team on the other side. You know, it's kind of crazy. So I don't know. I think there are only really like three candidates for an all-star spot. It might, if it really came down to it, they might go with someone like Duffy because he has pitched better lately and he has kind of, you know, some level of, you know, name recognition out there. But even then, I mean, he'd be going in with like a 4.5 ERA if he has another good start. So it still is really sketchy and really thin to kind of look at this team and be like, yeah, that's your all-star. That's your guy. It's not Mark Redmond level stuff yet. You know, it's not there. It's not, you know, Aaron Crow making an all-star team and he's your only representative. I would say that Merrifield or Moustakas are definitely, you know, you feel better about them being the all-star representatives. But, yeah, I mean, I think you only get one. And there's really only three, maybe four, if you stretch, candidates for it.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so kind of defeatist feeling to me is that it's hard to find someone who definitively deserves to be an all-star, and I don't know that there necessarily is anyone on this team. And it's kind of why I've always been annoyed with the whole have one representative from every team rule, you know, mm-hmm. like why does that need to be a thing? You know, I mean, it's people talk about how it's bad that kids get participation trophies, but we basically give every team in the league a participation trophy in the all-star game. So,
right.
It's dumb. I don't feel like it because, you know, now you're forcing yourself to say, okay, well, we got to pick somebody from the Royals. And yeah, it's cool for that person to be like, hey, I was an all-star. But I mean, I don't know. I've never liked it. And it's because of situations like this where you find yourself having this discussion that doesn't really need to be had. It's like, you know, because it's one thing to have a discussion and say, well, do the Royals have anybody who should be on the All-Star team right now? Because that would be a pretty easy question to answer when you say, you know, likely not. You could maybe look at a couple players, but most likely nobody. But you know, the conversation you have to have is who is going to be the Royals All-Star? And,
right.
You know, like you said,
we don't have one.
Yeah, and you do feel a little bit better than some of those years. Like the Mark Redmond, your Ken Harvey type years, you know, I mean, you do feel a little bit better if it's someone like Moose or whatever the case may be this year. But at the same time, it's still just like, it just doesn't feel, you know, certainly doesn't feel like, you know, your 2014, 2015 years, specifically, you know, 2015 when they had, was it seven players or whatever. And
yeah. And like, legit guys, you know, you had your Wade Davis and Kelvin Herrera, and Lorenzo Cain was good, and Sal Perez is really good, and, you know.
And they had, you know,
guys who made it who weren't necessarily voted in.
Yeah, and they couldn't, they could have had more that year, remember? I mean, there were a couple players that people even thought could have gotten additional consideration as well. So, you know, it's definitely not like that year where you're like, okay, any year on any team, this player would be an all-star. You know, Wade Davis that year, Herrera that year,
yeah.
You know, Kane that year. Any year, no matter what the team, that player would have been an all-star. You know, for that year, that's how good those years were, and that's great. That's awesome. But you know, this year you say, Okay, well, Whit Merrifield makes the All-Star game. You know, great for Whit. I'm super happy for him, and I'm glad that he's playing well. But, you know, you say, okay, you know, on that 2015 team, he doesn't make it. You know,
yeah. Have to invite him to represent the team, probably wouldn't make it. Yeah.
So. Yeah, but anyway, so that's kind of it.
It's just a rough week. The only other big news transaction wise was Justin Grimm went back on the DL with a shoulder issue. You hardly remember that he even came up, frankly. Jason Adam was recalled to take his spot in the bullpen. The Royals, at least right now, Willy Peralta is closing games. He's got two saves in the Royals' last two wins.
Hey-o.
So,
And we almost forgot Ryan Goins.
Oh, Ryan Goins,
DFA'd to make room for Jorge Bonifacio coming back off of his suspension.
Yep.
So, you know, if anything, that's something good to come from that suspension, I suppose.
There's that. I would note that Alcides Escobar has a lower OPS plus than Ryan Goins. But
would you look at that?
Just a number, you know, that's all.
Yeah, you know, Ryan Goins didn't hit an inside the park home run in the World Series, so there's that.
No, Abraham Almonte, same OPS plus as Ryan Goins.
There you go.
Just numbers, that's all, just numbers.
Just numbers on a chalkboard.
Paulo Orlando, much lower OPS plus. There's just a lot of bad numbers. I mean, it's a rough year. But yeah, Goins was more or less expendable. They've got Mondesi around who can play, you know, multiple positions. Rosel Herrera, if they needed to, could play on the infield a little bit. So they don't really need a Ryan Goins. They can definitely find other spots. If it really comes to it, they can call it Ramon Torres. You know, they've got plenty of utility guys. And they needed a 40-man spot. So Ryan Goins was it. So, you know, there it is.
All right. Well, with that, we'll leave you. That's all we have to cover for this week. So we'll be back next week. Not sure when. I know it's a holiday. So Mike and I will have to discuss, see what matches up with our schedule. And I suppose depending on what we're doing, there could be a possibility that we will have to skip next week. But we'll see how it goes. But hopefully we'll be back next week. And if not, then definitely the week after that. So until then, thank you all so much for stopping by. Please visit our sponsors. Go Kelly's Westport Inn. Always a good time. It's super, super sweltering outside, but they've got fans up on the deck. They've got air conditioning inside and cold beer. So if you want to beat the heat, Kelly's is as good a place as any to make that happen. And if you're staying inside, be sure to visit BP Kansas City. Always got great stuff up there. And please, as we mentioned at the top of the show, go read the article that we have from somebody who chose to remain anonymous, that we respect the giving their story of sexual abuse survival. So it's very, very powerful story. And it's definitely worth a read, especially as given recent discussions about the Royals and the players they've had, the player Luke Heimlich that they've had apparently some interest in. So definitely go read that. But until then, go to Kelly's, read BP Kansas City. We'll see you next time. Thank you all so much for stopping by. I love you all. Couldn't do it without you. So we'll see you next time. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com.